So this morning, though, if you'll turn with me, Acts chapter number 13, and verse number 44. Acts chapter number 13, verse number 44, and as we've already read it as the memory verse for the week and everything, we will read it again. It says, "And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the Word of God." Heavenly Father, as we come before You today, Lord, as we, Lord, look to the future, Lord, not knowing what You have in store for us, not knowing that, Lord, You might even come back before this service is over. But, oh God, the time that You give us, oh, may we be about our Father's work. Lord, may we be excited about the year ahead. Lord, that we may be excited about You. Oh God, that we would look forward to what You can do, what You will do if we'll allow You, both in our lives and in our church, but also, Lord, in our city, in our state, in our country. Lord, bless today. Lord, in myself, just empty me of self. Fill me with the Holy Spirit, Lord, that what is said and done will give You the honor, the glory, and the praise. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. There's much in this passage that actually the paragraph would be back in verse number 14, would continue to the end of the chapter, verse number 52. There's much that we could preach on in this passage. We could look at the missionaries. We could look at the trials before the journeys. We could look at the trials in the journey itself. We could look at the days in relation to the historical setting, the practical setting, or even the observance of them. We could look at the character of the service that they attended. That we could look at the composition of the congregation that was there. We could research and we could preach just on the preaching that was done. We could look at the message itself and break that down. We could look at the statements that are made. We could look at the critics that show their head, and we could also see the converts. All of these things are in these verses from 14 to 52. And all of these would be time well spent in the study of the Word of God. And although we will study them over the coming year and touch on those topics, today we are only going to look at verse 44. And I believe that just in verse 44, we have more than enough to carry us well into 1 o'clock. You know, Pastor, now if you're trying to excite us about the vision ahead and about being excited about church and about being excited about what God can do, going till 1 isn't going to do it. So there's enough there in that one verse to go that far. I didn't say I've got enough. We start the new year here at Good News Baptist Church as we make plans for meetings and for activities, for special days. At the same time, we must use caution. Caution that what manner, what methods we use to employ to fill the church, to fill the building for each one of those things. If people won't come using the right methods, we cannot justify using worldly methods, using the wrong methods to attain the goal. We've heard and it's been told many times, two wrongs don't make a right. Got swats one time because I told my mom, they do. I just got done in math. I did two negatives equal a positive. She always said I was splitting hairs. But we know that two wrongs don't make a right. We know that it is wrong to do something wrong for the right reasons. As parents, we teach our kids, we teach our young people, we teach our children that it is always right to do the right thing for the right reasons at the right time. If that's the case, then we as a church, as a congregation, as the body of Christ must ensure that we are doing the right things for the right reasons. Not just today, but every time throughout the year, if God gives us this whole year, or only a month of this year, only a portion of this year, however much He gives us, we must do the right things at every opportunity. Or expect the wrath of God rather than the blessings of God. The judgment of God rather than the blessings of God. As we look at the verse and we'll break it down into just portions, and it says the next Sabbath day. So if you're doing points and you're taking notes, you're doing points. Point number one is the next Sabbath day. So fairly simple, but the next Sabbath day. Now I understand that we as Bible-believing Christians don't celebrate the Sabbath the way the Jews did. I understand that we use a different calendar. I understand that we observe the Lord's Day on a different day than Saturday. The Jews, if you look back and you study out how they did it, they started observing Sabbath on Friday evening, and it was over on Saturday evening, sun up, sundown to sundown. That was their Sabbath day. It is unfortunate, though, as we have gone away from that, and we now observe the Lord's Day on Sunday, and there's nothing wrong with that part of it. What's wrong is how we do it. The Jews, very commendable. In fact, we live near a synagogue here in Albuquerque, and occasionally we will see them on their way to church on Saturday, walking. And I realized that Jesus preached against them. He talked about all the stuff that they were doing. They added so many things into the worship of Jesus, and got to the point where they were unable to. If the man was a tailor, and for whatever reason he accidentally left a needle in the pocket of his jacket, and he carried that needle in his pocket on the Sabbath day, he was violating the law according to the regulations that they brought about. But before they started adding in all these other things, the one thing that God said you will do is keep the Sabbath day and keep it holy. So going back to my other statement of the one thing that we do wrong, what is so unfortunate in Christianity today, is we seldom separate a day out for God. We so seldom break a day down and say, okay, God, today is your day. I understand that there's a lot of stuff going on in the world today that wasn't going on back when the New Testament was written. That things are different now, and that things are completely changed. In case you're wondering, no, I don't have a problem if you drove a car here to church. I did. It was too cold to walk. Don't have a problem with a lot of the modern conveniences and all of those things. The challenge isn't in that. The challenge is in, as Christians, has the day of the Lord been pared down to the hour. To the minutes, to the seconds, to this block of time. Lord, I have my calendar, I have my daily planner, I have it on my phone, and Lord, these are the time blocks that you fit into, and Lord, if you can't fit into those time blocks, then I'm afraid I just will not have time this week for you, but we'll see what we can do it again next week. We'll pencil you in then. On the next Sabbath day. On the next Lord's Day, three things. Because there is another one coming according to my calendar, not according to the Word of God. But according to my calendar, I have another one coming. It is the 10th of January. I said not according to my Bible because God says I don't have a guarantee of tomorrow. But as we're filling out our calendar and as we're looking at and we're considering our calendar, have we already today made plans for next Sunday? Where will we be? One of the things that, and understand we have to be careful about methods and programs and doing all of these things and everything else like that. But one of the things that I want to encourage this year, in addition to regular prayer time, in addition to regular Bible study, in addition to the three to thrive. I believe that if we'll be faithful to the house of God, that not only will our church grow, but we will grow as Christians. That we will grow spiritually, that we will see God do some amazing things, some miraculous things in our own lives. At your job, how many times do you have to go every week to thrive there? To be successful there. Remember, I was working at one place and I was working quite a few hours for free. And when things in my family life changed, I went in and said, I gotta have some more time. They said, well, you used to like to help out around here. Apparently, you're just not a company hand. I didn't thrive real well after that. As long as I was willing to give free time, as long as I was willing to put in above and beyond the call of duty, so to speak, they were willing to act like I was going to advance and be successful. All the minute I stepped back from that, I was hunting a different job. Do we approach church in the same way? Oh, Pastor, there are things that, you know, I understand that there's stuff. Hey, if I at any time am preaching to the choir, I understand the complaint is coming back to the choir. That the excuse is coming back to the choir. I am very good at making excuses of reasoning away the circumstances and the issues in my life to give me wiggle room. But are we planning to attend, or are we already working on our excuses? Next Saturday night you understand that next Saturday night we're calling a revival meeting, and I understand that I cannot tell God that next Saturday night at 7:00 you are going to start a revival in this church. I understand that we're calling a revival meeting just so people have an idea of what kind of service to expect and why are they coming on a Saturday night at 7:00 as opposed to any other day. and why we're having a special speaker. But as Christians, are we planning to attend, or are we already planning our excuse? How about point B, number one? Are we planning to pray about Saturday night? Have we already determined in our heart and mind that, hey, I am going to start praying even now that God will do something in this church starting on Saturday night at 7 o'clock, continuing it through the afternoon service on Sunday, and Lord, whatever you do, start it in me. I found as Christians, we don't have a hard time praying that God, you need to do a revival in this city. Oh man, look at the wickedness. There were shots fired at our apartment just the other day. And just makes you just love to live in the city. There were shots fired all the time in Farmington or near our house. That's because we didn't live very far away from the river and they were duck hunting. Not being a nuisance in the neighborhood. We're so willing to pray that God will start revival in somebody else's life, that God will start revival in this town, that God will do revival across this country, that God will do something, and we're not understand that we're entering in we're in an election year. I don't know who you're voting for. I don't really care. So, Pastor, you should. Do you realize what some of those guys? I understand that. Don't mistake my I don't care part for the fact that whoever gets elected as president is not going to save this country. Whoever gets elected as governor isn't going to save this state. Whoever gets elected as mayor is not going to save this city. Only Jesus saves. And we must be focused on that. Are we willing to pray for revival in this? Worry about what is going to... God, would you start something in my heart? Don't wait till Saturday night at 7 o'clock after the singing is over and the preacher gets up and starts. But oh, God, start it now. Are you planning to pray? And third, are you planning to invite somebody? Oh, everybody I know, I've already invited them. Everybody already know, I've already told them. Everybody already know, all of my friends know this is where I go. Make new friends. Make new friends. I struggle with that myself. Not in the making of new friends, but if you go somewhere and you get your hair cut and you invite that person to come to church and they don't come, where do you go get your hair cut the next time? Well, I keep going back because I keep inviting the same one. Plan to invite someone. If necessary, plan to drive your car over there and pick them up. A couple of the young men in the church, and I won't name any names, but they're both looking at me like going, Pastor, I plan on bringing somebody to church that day. I go and pick my girlfriend up every day. And that is appreciated. One young married couple won't be here next Sunday. They'll be back home in Oklahoma, but I know where they'll be on Sunday morning. But the rest of us, and just because the guys are going to pick up their girlfriend, or if their girlfriend actually owns the car and she's coming to get them, whatever the case may be, who else? Who else? What are we going to do? What are we doing? Are we making a plan, or are we planning to fail? Many have made plans for the new year, and those started on January 1st, and they're going to do whatever for themselves, for their family, for God, whatever the case may be. What are we doing as a congregation? The second part, it says, came almost the whole city. And you kind of like the almost part because that kind of lets us off the hook. Lord, do you realize that there's almost 1 million people in the city? And Lord, where did all these people go? In verse 44, it doesn't say that they all came to the synagogue. It doesn't say that they all came to... It just says almost the whole city. Who didn't come? I don't know. I can make some ideas up, and you know, I would bet that there was a couple people who were not allowed to come. I'm going to bet that there were some folks at the guarding the gate. That there might even have been a guy up in the watchtower watching out. There were some necessary things that those folks had jobs that they were not allowed to escape, even for such a momentous occasion of the whole city. But from our standpoint, are we prepared? If God were to do that this coming Sunday, well, Pastor, it won't happen. Okay, great. Thanks for already looking for defeat. But are we prepared for God to work? Or are we like the farmer who is on his knees praying, God, I need rain. I have fields that I need to plant. I need rain. I need a good crop this year. And Lord, please send the rain. And he stands looking out the window. Goes back in, Lord, I got to have rain. Would you send rain? Man, my crops will not survive if you don't send rain. Goes back and looks out the window. His neighbor, also a farmer, gets on his knees in the morning and says, God, I got to have rain. My crops require your blessing. Oh, God, my family's livelihood requires your blessing. I'm going to get up now. I'm going to go plant the seed, expecting you're going to do something. Which one do you think God blessed? Oh, they both probably got rain. But only one of them was prepared for it. We prepared through prayer? Are we prepared through Bible reading? Are we prepared through action? James 1:22, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. All the way through the Bible, God requires action. He doesn't just require that we plan. He doesn't just require that we pray. It doesn't just require that we read our Bible, but He requires that we then put some action in.